Over the weekend, more than 130 children were released after 2 weeks in captivity. They'd been kidnapped while at school in northwest Nigeria. Kidnapping for ransom is a leading security challenge in the country. And NPR's Emmanuel Akinwotu has been following the story of one family in Nigeria whose lives have been turned upside down by kidnapping for ransom. And a warning, the story contains graphic descriptions of violence.
Traders haul wheelbarrows of fresh sugarcane and weave through pedestrians and motorbikes at a busy market in Bwari. This is a gently bustling commercial town surrounded by rocky hills and acres of countryside, just 40 miles north of the capital, Abuja. But the town is no longer at ease. Military tanks have been stationed here for months, while police convoys patrol the streets.
Assalamu alaikum.
The grief of one family in Bwari explains why. We're not using their real names as they're afraid of being identified by the kidnappers who've abducted their four sons, the eldest 24 and the youngest just 12 years old. We met the family in January at the start of their ordeal and have followed their story for the last few months. The father speaks in Hausa and explains how just after the new year, about 20 men armed with AK-47s and machetes attacked their home around midnight.
They forced the gate open, went to the children's room and broke the window. And from the window, they pointed their gun to them and told them to open the door or they will shoot them.
They dragged him and his four sons outside, tied their hands and beat them with the back of their guns and with the flat side of their machetes. Then they led them away along with other victims, marching them bare feet for almost 10 hours. They were taken to a forest that spans central and northwest Nigeria that's become a haven for hundreds of armed groups called bandits, at large in the region. They demanded $3,500 in ransom, the equivalent of about 3 years of the family's income. Then they released the father to go and raise the money.
The kids kept crying because they could see I was about to leave them behind.
Before the father was allowed to leave the forest, he wanted to hug his sons as they wept, but the kidnappers wouldn't let him.
I told them goodbye. I warned them not to try and escape and to trust that I will go and do whatever it takes to find the money and bring them home.
Hello.
This is the voice of the kidnap leader, recorded by the family. First, a greeting of peace in Arabic, and then in their native Hausa, the torment. The kidnappers would call the father almost every day for months. Sometimes his children were beaten, then put on the phone so he could hear them scream. By the end of January, the father had sold virtually everything valuable that he owned, his farm and the bags of ginger he'd grown to sell at the market. But when he delivered the ransom, the kidnappers only released two of his sons, then increased their demands. He would also need to buy motorbikes worth around $1,500, or they'd kill the remaining two boys. In February, he delivered the bikes, but the kidnappers only released the third son and kept hold of the fourth, the youngest. In this call made at the end of February, the kidnap leader made fresh demands for bags of rice and beans, even a box of soda, and for mobile phones, walkie-talkies, and drugs. Almost 1,000 people have been kidnapped in Nigeria this year alone. The attacks have spiraled during one of the worst periods of economic decline in Nigeria for decades.
Allahu Akbar.
The call to prayer echoes through the blazing afternoon heat.
Allahu Akbar.
It's March at the beginning of Ramadan in Bwari town. But for so many families, this sacred period is heavy with anguish and desperation. At the family home, we meet the eldest son who has just been released. He sits in a beige-coloured kaftan with bright patterns and describes his last moments in captivity. We've used someone else to voice what he told us in order to protect his identity.
They asked us to go and fetch water, so we stood next to the river.
His abductors walked him, his younger brother and three other kidnapped young men and boys to a river. They pulled one of the boys aside and shot him.
The boy was telling him, sorry, they will bring your money. They will bring your motorcycle with the phones and boots. The boy was telling him, sorry, sorry.
But they shot the boy again. Then the kidnappers ordered the other boys to dig a grave for him in the sandy soil by the water. Then with a final shot, the kidnappers killed him. Before the eldest son was released, the kidnappers told him to tell his parents what he'd seen.
I should tell my parents if they don't bring the items that they asked my dad to bring, they will take him to the river and kill him there. And I came back home crying, crying, crying.
The youngest brother, the 12-year-old, finally came home earlier this month. He managed to escape before the family could raise the third ransom demand. This was what the family had prayed for. All their children were finally back home. But their freedom has come at a cost. His children are not the same boys they were when they were taken. They're suspicious of everyone around them because they believe someone close to the family worked with the kidnappers who knew intimate things about their lives.
It has reached a stage that you don't even know who to trust because you don't know who is your enemy and who is not.
And the threat from the kidnappers still feels imminent. The last son escaped, denying the kidnappers their final ransom. So they still call the family and threaten to strike again.
I'm not really free. This morning, I saw a call from a new number. As I picked the call, I discovered that it was him, the kidnapper. Right now, we are very scared.
Emmanuel Akinwotu, NPR News, Abuja.